Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Well, if you take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, you will find my text. The Holy Spirit has led us into a series of messages this fall on the end times, how they are unfolding. We talked about the fall and rise of Israel. We talked about the rapture of the church, the tribulation, the great tribulation, times of tribulation, as Jesus said, like the world has never known before. The third message was a tough one. Times of tribulation. How many like tribulation and struggle? No? Well, it's part of the reality. It's what is coming. I hope that you're ready to meet Jesus. I want to talk to you this morning about the coming of the Lord. When he left this earth, he left and an angel spoke to those that were standing there on the hill and said, "This same Jesus that you have seen go into heaven will so come again in like manner as you have seen him go." What a promise. We used to sing a song, "Our Lord is coming back to earth someday." Huh? I don't know. I think somebody needs to start writing some more songs about the coming of the Lord Jesus. If you don't, then I'm going to keep bringing up the old ones. Because it's true. You say, "Oh, I've heard that my whole life." Yeah, well, that just makes it more close. Don't lose sight of this. I believe this is the reason why the Holy Spirit has us here, because we need to be reminded. You say, "Well, I've heard all of this." Okay, good. So you can just shout the amen. You can help me preach. In Matthew chapter 24, if you found it, beginning at verse number 23, I get there too. It says, "At that time, if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. See, I've told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, 'There he is,' out in the desert, do not go out. Or 'Here he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather." "Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations on earth, or of the earth, will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its figs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Father in heaven, help us this morning as we study your word. May there be clarity. And may the Spirit move us to the decisions that need to be made in this house. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to see, first of all, that the battle lines are drawn by God. We talked about, as we came to the end of the message 2 weeks ago, we talked about the tribulation period ending where the nations of the world will gather. I want to fill in a little bit more of that. In Ezekiel chapter 38, at verse number 4, the Lord says, I will turn you around and put hooks in your jaw and bring you out with you the whole, out with you the whole army, your horses, your horsemen, fully armed, a great horde with large and small shields, all of them brandishing their swords. It seems a strange thing that the Lord would call the armies of the world to do battle against Israel. But I just want to clarify something here this morning. You see, the God of victory is not afraid of the battle. You and I, we feel like that there should never be a battle. You know, we even start developing the equation, well, if God is for us, who can be against us? So if I'm on the Lord's side, then I should never have battles. But that is so completely contrary to the Word of God that if you study God's Word at all, you realize it's just not true. Battles, many, many times, are God's idea. He will bring the nations of the world to line up and form their battle lines against Israel. He's talking to Gog here, and I'll explain who Gog is in just a moment. But he says, I'll put a hook in their jaw, and I will bring them to this battle. Why does the Lord call the nations against Israel? Well, in verse number 16, he says, of Ezekiel 38, he says, in days to come, O Gog, I will bring you against my land so that the nations may know me when I show myself holy through you before their eyes. Sometimes God wants to reveal himself in victory, and the only way that that is possible is for there to be a conflict. Can anybody pick up on the application of that to our own lives? We wouldn't know that God was a God of victory unless there was conflict that rose from time to time in our lives. Sometimes we need to see his ability to see us through. Come on. You know, we would like to be able to just, you know, we enter into a difficult situation. We'd like to just simply be able to tell him about it, and then the situation would end. And sometimes that's the way it happens. In those times, he's showing himself to be the God over the situation, then he brings it to an end immediately. There are other times that he wants to show us that he is the God through the situation. That if we will stand upon his word and rest upon his promises and live our lives in his presence, that he will give us the strength that we need to make it through. Now, I have to say to you this morning, I'm not excited about those. Come on. This morning in the first service, we reached for a level of honesty, and I'm not sure that we made it, but we reached for it anyway. I think it's very important for us to be honest. I don't like conflict. I don't like persecution. I don't like struggle. I don't like being sick. Okay, there it is. And sometimes the Lord leads us into some circumstances so that he can bring us through. You say, well, that's not fair. Show me in the Word where God is fair. In men's thinking. He's not bound to do things the way you and I would do them. He does them right. Yeah, well, maybe. See, I've always considered my way is right. Come on. We got to have a little bit of honesty here, right? You know, a preface to this that we can learn from, God used the Babylonians and King Nebuchadnezzar to come against Israel and actually to judge Israel. And on the same page that God said he is using Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians to judge Israel, God says he's going to judge the Babylonians. If you haven't figured this out, he's in charge. And he knows exactly what he's doing. Praise his holy name. As the end approaches, he will bring the nations of the world. Now, let me just say this. It always amazes me because I know that the devil, he has a Bible too. I'm not sure if it's King James or New International Version, but I know he has a Bible. And you would think that he would just leaf through its pages when he comes to the end things and go, ooh, this doesn't end well for me. And that maybe he would back off or try to repent of his ways and change the scenario. But there's no evidence at all that the enemy is going to change his scenario. He's going to push right on through to the end. And what is amazing to me is that God lays out his fate. Fate of the enemy of the Lord, he lays it right out in front. It's going to happen. It's going to take place. Can I tell you this morning that there is not a word of the Lord, not a prophetic word of the Lord, that has not been fulfilled the way God said it would be fulfilled? The only things that have not been fulfilled are the things that we are yet waiting on. That should at least amaze us. Every single thing that God said would happen, happened. And it happened to the very day that he said it would happen. Well, who are the nations that God is going to bring together? You've heard of the Battle of Armageddon, right? Don't just sit there, kind of give me a nod or blink your eyes so I know you're still there. Here we go. Who are the nations? Now see, this is going to kind of be interesting. Now, understand that these names are the names of Noah's sons. So they sound like strange names. But if you look at a map of the regions and the areas that existed in Old Testament times, and then you bring it up to date, and know what countries we're talking about here now, I think that there's an interesting revelation right in the midst of that. Gog is Ukraine. Anybody hear about anything in Ukraine? Magog is, and I'm going to probably say this incorrect, Kazakhstan. Meshesh, Georgia. And that's not the state of Georgia. That is the country of Georgia, one of the Baltic states. Tubal, Turkey. Persia, Iran. Cush, Ethiopia. Put, Libya. Gomer, Russia. Beth Togomar, Syria. When you get home today, if you take the newspaper, look at the front page. Look at the newspaper. And these countries will be right at the forefront of the discussion in the day that we're living. Just saying. And every one of them have sworn hatred for Jerusalem and for Israel. Look with me at Ezekiel. If you may put a finger there in Matthew's gospel and look at Ezekiel chapter 38. I want to show you what this battle looks like. Verse number 17, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Are you not the one I spoke of in former days by my servants, the prophets Israel? At that time, they prophesied for years that I would bring you against them. This is what will happen in that day. When Gog attacks the land of Israel, my hot anger will be aroused, declares the sovereign Lord. In my zeal and fiery wrath, I declare at that time, there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. The fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the beasts of the field, every creature that moves along the ground, and all the people on the face of the earth will tremble at my presence. The mountains will be overturned. The cliffs will crumble. Every wall will fail and fall to the ground. I will summon a sword against Gog on my mountains, declares the sovereign Lord. Every man's sword will be against his brother. I will execute judgment upon him with plague and bloodshed. I will pour down torrents of rain, hailstones, and burning sulfur on him and on his troops and on the many nations with him. And so I will show my greatness and my holiness. I will make myself known in the sight of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord. You notice in that there's not a single mention of Israel doing anything. The Lord will fight the battle. What a day. In that day, a victorious king will come to earth. If you go to John's Revelation, in Revelation chapter 19, you see in verse number 11, John said, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven are following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wow. This white horse rider, if you remember in the tribulation, as the first seal is opened, a rider comes forth riding on a white horse, bent on conquering. And that will be the Antichrist as he comes and deceives the world. But oh my goodness, his power will be overshadowed by the one who breaks forth from heaven. Wow. Jesus isn't going to come into Jerusalem riding on a donkey's colt. He's not going to come lowly and bent. He's not coming as a lamb. He's coming victorious as a mighty conqueror. You know, I think we need to be really careful as to how we frame the second coming of the Lord in our minds. It is not going to be a day to look forward to. That may seem, it sounds strange, but it is not a day to look forward to, because when he comes, judgment will come upon this earth as never before. He is coming not as Savior of the world. He is coming as the righteous King and Judge. He's called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a blazing fire. On his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. Note the armies that follow him, the armies of heaven, dressed in white linen. If you read this book at all, you recognize that that is the dress of the saints. I heard people say, oh, I don't want to wear a white robe. It doesn't say that it's going to be a white robe. just says that we're dressed in white linen, pure and clean. It may be spectacular dresses and suits, who knows? Riding on white horses, dressed in fine linen, white and clean, riding behind the King of all the ages. Whew. Oh, it's going to be so dull in heaven. Yeah, so we're going to, after the marriage supper of the Lamb, we're going to all gather together and get on white stallions and chase the King back into this world. How incredible is that going to be? Ricky, that's better than Star Wars. What's interesting is, you know, all the armies don't have on armor. We don't have to get up in heaven and arm ourselves with the armor, you know, the helmet and the belt of truth and breastplate of righteousness. We don't have to do that. Because the only weapons that are represented on this day are being held by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It says, out of his mouth will come a sharp sword, which is the word of God. Poke, you know what? We just don't realize how powerful this word is. When the Word who became flesh breaks forth from heaven, it will be his word that will cause the nations of the world to fight against each other. And his breaking free from heaven will cause the earth to tremble as it's never trembled before. And everyone will reckon with his coming. He will rule with an iron scepter. It says that the birds are going to be called to a feast. On the mountains of Israel you will fall, you and all your troops and the nations with you. I will give you as food to all kinds of carrion birds and wild animals. You will fall in the open field, for I have spoken, declares the Sovereign Lord. And I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, come, gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings and generals and mighty men and of horses and riders, the flesh of all people, free and small and great. Wow. Listen to the battle in Ezekiel 38:22. I will summon a sword against Gog on all my mountains, declares the Sovereign Lord. Every man's sword will be against his brother. I will execute judgment upon him with plagues and bloodshed. I will pour down torrents of rain, hailstones, stones, sulfur, burning sulfur on him and his troops and on the many nations. And the end, I will show my greatness and my holiness, and I will make myself known in the sight of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord. On that day, the enemy of mankind is vanquished. Revelation 19:19 says that the beast, the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth who had believed the lies that he had told, along with their armies, gathered to make war against the rider on the horse and his army. But the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who had performed miraculous signs on his behalf. With these signs he had deluded those who received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The rest of them, that is the kings and their armies, were killed with the sword that came out of the mouth of the rider on the horse, and all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh. I know this is gruesome. This morning message is rated PG. But this is the reality. Unfortunately, see, you won't get this on Fox News or CNN. If we don't talk about these things here in the church, they won't be talked about. And yet the King of the ages, the Son of the living God, the mighty, mighty Lord and King is coming back again. And we need to be ready. In Matthew chapter 24, I read to you that passage. He says that the coming of the Lord will not be a mystery. If people say that the Lord has come and he's in a certain place, he said, tell them it's not so. Because when he comes, every eye will see. Say, how is that possible? It's God. I've heard people say, well, you know, now that we have the internet, then this is possible. I know one who exceeds the internet. Like lightning which lights up the sky. Here he comes. Now here's the key. When he comes, all the nations on earth will mourn. When the truth is revealed and the people of the world will lament that they did not receive him on the day of salvation. Because folks, there is nothing in the Word of God that says on the day that the Lord comes back that there will be anyone saved. It's not the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get your heart right with God. Because on that day, it will be a day of divine judgment against those who have rejected the truth. There will be individuals who set service after service in the sanctuary and never gave their lives over to Jesus. There will be individuals who were raised in church, knew the truth, heard the messages, but rejected the messages for the games that they could play in this world apart from the Lord. But on that day, every eye will see him. And the nations will mourn. It says that the nations will be gathered. And this particular passage of Scripture has given pause to those who believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. And yet, if you look at the wording, he does not say that earth, that the angels will go and gather the saints from the earth. It says that they will go to the corridors, the four corners of heavens, and gather the saints. Hello? We're going to be in the heavens. I don't know about you, but I don't live there right now. The angels of the Lord on that day will gather all of the saints as we gather to come back to earth with Jesus. Matthew's Gospel, the 24th chapter says, verse 42, therefore keep watch. Because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let the house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants of his household to give them their food at proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, listen, my master is staying away a long time. And he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in an hour when he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's an interesting picture exists here, because in heaven, gathered around the throne, we see Jesus as the Lamb of God slain from the foundations of the world. When he breaks heaven and comes back to the earth, they will see him as a mighty conqueror, king of all the world. In my heart, I want to see him. I want to see Jesus. Those that know him, I think you know what I'm talking about. There's just a longing, a groaning, a desire that's down inside. I want to see Jesus. If you're sitting here this morning and you don't have that longing in you, you need to know you're going to see Jesus. And on that day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Absolute ruler. You know, he's given us so much freedom to live our lives and to do whatever we want to do while we're on this earth, in our very few years, by the way, that we have. But he's given us that freedom. We can do whatever we want to on any given day. But sitting right alongside of that, he has given us his word that he's coming back, and that he's coming back with judgment in his hand. And alongside that, he has given us the message of redemption that says, if you will call upon me, I will answer. If you will believe in me, if you will give your life to me, then for all of eternity, you are secure in me. So there's several pictures that exist. There's one of complete freedom, complete liberty to do whatever you want to do for as long as you live. You can do whatever you want and make those choices. And yet alongside of that, you have these pictures of who he is and of redemption that he's offered to us. You see, we will be without excuse on that day. No one can say, no one sitting here in this sanctuary this morning will be able to face Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, on that day and say, I didn't realize you were coming back to judge. Because by the direction of the Holy Spirit, this message has gone forth. Now, whether or not you listened, whether or not you heard what was said, that totally is up to you. Whether you do anything about this truth that we have laid down, that's totally up to you. You may say, well, I don't believe it. That's your privilege. But I say once again, every promise, every prophetic word of God has come to pass except these words. So why would he start lying now? Paul says it, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get your heart right with God. You say, oh, but I've got some living I want to do before I turn loose of the reins of my life. You don't know what living is until you've turned loose of the reins of your life and put them into the hands of the Lord. He said, yeah, but I want to do this and I want to do this, and that's contrary to what God wants. There is nothing that you want to do that is worth doing that is outside the desire of God. He made you. He made me. And he is ready this morning to take full responsibility for the life that is wholly yielded to him. Give your life to Jesus. And then you can get excited about the fact that he's coming back. But oh, I tell you, if you're not giving your life over to Jesus, if you're still holding on to control, don't get too excited about him coming, because it's going to be an awesome day. Now see, this is very difficult for me. This is a hard thing. It's not hard to tell you the truth. It's hard to know the reality of those that are sitting before me. Because here's the reality on any given Sunday in this place. And by the way, if I happen to read your story right here, don't think poorly of me. It's the Holy Spirit. Every single Sunday, we have those who are sitting here in our midst who are being unfaithful in their marriages, who are being brutal to their families, who are lying and cheating. We have individuals that are sitting in our midst who are committing crimes. It's true. Hearing the word of God and living a life contrary to who he is and to his desire. But that's the reality. How's that possible? Because God's given us free choice. Wouldn't it be something if he made us wear scarlet letters? Or signs. I am an adulterer. But he doesn't. You can come into the household of faith. You can dress like the rest of us, talk and act like the rest of us, and nobody knows that it's even going on. And it's going on right in the midst. But God knows. Isn't it about time to stop playing the game? I mean, with the truth that's on the table, isn't it about time that we admit to who we are before the God of the universe? He said if we confess our sins, he will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now that doesn't mean that you get to keep on doing the sinful act. Repentance means you turn around. This is what I know. There are individuals right here, maybe it's you. There are individuals right in this room this morning. You need to come to this altar and confess your sin to Jesus and let him lift that sin off of you. Don't carry your sin into eternity. Don't carry your sin into judgment. Jesus wants to take it. And once again, today is the day of salvation.